This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. The Florida Golf Trail will host the next event on the Todd Wright Tour. Save the date. The public on sale will be next week for my next golf tournament on July 8th at Bloomingdale Golfers Club, which is a Florida Golf Trail public property. Florida Golf Trail has now hosted 5 of my 10 events, and we have also had 2 of them at Landsberg Golf Club. The second one, and the most recent one, which was the final foursome event on the day of the final four back on April 1st. Landsberg Golf Club has wonderful greens. As a matter of fact, this day last week, the city of Oldsmar held its annual charity event out at Landsberg Golf Club to raise money for children to go to summer camp. The event was a success, and personally it was a success, as my friends and I on the Tampa Bay Downs bought and sponsored team won the tournament. We enjoyed our day at Landsberg Golf Club. General manager Steve Martin is one of the most heavily invested general managers when it comes to every aspect of a golf property in the Tampa Bay area, and I think you will find the greens to your liking. Now look, if you go out to Landsberg Golf Club and every tee box and every fairway doesn't have lush grass, okay, that's kind of going on everywhere right now in the Central Florida area for one simple reason: lack of rainfall. A number of water hazards on every golf course I play these days can be played out of, especially near the edges because of the low water table. Don't hold that against any one particular golf property right now. As a matter of fact, the exceptions are properties that do have a lot of grass in the fairways. They are the exceptions right now rather than the rule. But I think you will find Landsberg Golf Club as or more playable tee to green than most properties in the Tampa Bay area right now. Don't blame the lack of rainfall on any individual golf property right now. It's something everybody is dealing with. Landsberg Golf Club, visit them online at landsberg-golf.com. Or call for tee time, 727-784-7333. More of a test than people think, especially when you play it from the gold tees. Those are the tips at just over 6,800 yards. Ladies, you're at 5,265. Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Good Friday to you. My podcasts always post, except when we do bonus podcasts on Friday. For my friends at joebucksfan.com. And when I decided to do the podcast in the off season, the natural question was, what are you going to talk about? It's not like people can play fantasy football in the off season. And I thought, well, but they like talking about football the entire off season. And there's always news to talk about. And in some way, it can be connected to fantasy football, or we just wanted to talk football anyway. So thank you for staying with me, because now here we are. We're a few weeks removed from the NFL draft, and I was sent a renewal by Yahoo Sports to renew the 10-team league, which I may expand to 12, that I have been commissioning in recent years. And Yahoo Sports went as far to do ridiculously early 2017 fantasy football draft rankings. So I wanted to pull up those results because I like the work Yahoo Sports does for fantasy football. I think it is a very good and easy site to use if you are starting up or looking for a new place to host your fantasy football league. And some of the people who work for them do good work as it relates to their analysis of players and some of their commentary. I'm particularly fans of Brandon Funston, who I knew at ESPN when I worked there. Brad Evans also is excellent. So these are the what I'm going to talk about now, and these were posted within the last week, Yahoo went to six of their experts and asked for overall fantasy football draft rankings based on all available information, and then compiled them into one list, which they commonly do every week. For example, if this was week two of the football season, the same analysts do the same thing, and it's put together, and they do the average, and you get a list of what's the best quarterback play this week, what's the best running back plays this week, what's the best wide receiver, and so on. So based off those rankings, David Johnson, number one on everybody's list, despite the late season injury with the Arizona Cardinals. I don't have much negative to say about that. I think personally, I would rather have Le'Veon Bell. So I might list Bell 1 and Johnson 2. And Bell has his own medical issue that we'll see how that plays out as we get close to camp and otherwise. But at this point, I don't think anybody is truly that concerned about it. And the same could be said for Ezekiel Elliott, who comes in the consensus rankings on Yahoo Sports at number 3. Funston and Liz Loza list him at 2, just ahead of Le'Veon Bell. But as far as top 3 running backs, I don't think anyone who plays fantasy football would argue that of these 3 guys, you'd love to have at least one of them on your football team based on what they did last year and based on their role in the same offenses going forward. And one of the themes, when I look down the fantasy football draft rankings, there's a lot of consistency from where we left off. There's a lot of consistency from just last year, when we were all drafting and putting our teams together. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown across the board is a unanimous number 4 overall, which means he's the number 1 overall wide receiver. Followed closely in the consensus rankings at 5 by Odell Beckham Jr. Julio Jones is next, and then Mike Evans follows that as the 4th highest ranked wide receiver and 7th overall. Now, I will nitpick a little bit, as I often do with wide receivers. The trend in recent years has been to draft wide receivers higher than running backs. Now, this overall ranking obviously lists 3 running backs, 1, 2, 3, showing what elite players they are and the immense volume that David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott get, how many touches they get, which is kind of amazing also considering Ezekiel Elliott doesn't catch passes. He really doesn't. Bell does. He even lines up at wide receiver, and David Johnson is a trusted target of Carson Palmer out of the backfield and used as such by Bruce Arians, the head coach. As it relates to wide receivers, I'll go below Antonio Brown, who was he earned that spot because he's about as consistent of a 100-yard wide receiver in the NFL as you are going to find. Beckham, Jones, and Evans all had examples last year of games where you didn't get that type of production. And I know there are some people that say, well, that just comes with fantasy football. And I said this a year removed about A.J. Green, who is down the board this year at number 11, and Brandon Funston actually has him listed as low as 18. I question A.J. Green's hands. A.J. Green obviously suffered an injury last year, which a number of the guys we're talking about have also. Julio Jones dealt with an injury. We've already mentioned Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. So there were others. But sure, it's tougher to find receivers who are going to give you a consistent amount of targets and yardage every week, rather than pointing at a running back who you know is getting high volume, like the three we've already mentioned. And I would certainly say that Shady McCoy, Melvin Gordon, and Jay Ajayi would fall into that category as well. And all of those three running backs I just mentioned are also in the top 13 of the consensus Yahoo Fantasy rankings as we speak right now, and rightfully so. But my caution on Julio Jones, as a Julio Jones owner last year in multiple leagues, but then who traded him after the big 300-yard game, I sold high and brought in a Le'Veon Bell, who had already served his suspension. And it was a wonderful deal for me, and part of the reason why I won a division and made the semifinals of this particular 14-team league. Jones, as the season went on, seemed to be more of a luxury for the Falcons with how much he could play, how effective he was, and dare I use the word decoy on a lot of plays where the Atlanta didn't plan to throw him the ball, but by simply having him on the field, he drew the attention of 1.5 to 2 players on the defensive side to free up other options like Mohamed Sanu. The use of tight ends like Tuolo and Hooper the other young receiver last year who came on at the end who was worth they would design plays for and got him in the end zone about 4 or 5 games in a row. And as far as Mike Evans is concerned, Mike was certainly a target monster for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but right around the time that the Bucs lost that 5-game winning streak, remember when they went into Dallas and they hung around, but they got beat in that game, and Mike Evans was not heavily targeted in that game, and the same happened the following week. Now DeSean Jackson is there. They've also drafted O.J. Howard to be a pass-catching threat, and they have used a third-round pick on Godwin out of Penn State. I don't think it significantly devalues Mike Evans, but here's the way I looked at the Bucs last year. Mike Evans was always the target until the 20-yard line. He was the primary target for Jameis Winston. Now, whether it's a flaw in Mike Evans' game or the defense finally getting stingy with their coverage, Cameron Brait became the go-to guy inside the red zone and not Mike Evans. So that hurts you in terms of your production there. But just saying that anytime the Buccaneers were looking to throw outside the 20, Mike Evans was the number one guy. And no one else was really even close. Inside the 20, it was Cameron Brait. Now, Jameis Winston is going to have more options. And it looks more and more like the Bucs will use two tight ends, with O.J. Howard sort of in line, almost as a third tackle on some plays. And he can run block. And with Brait lined up more as a third wide receiver rather than Godwin. Or Brait is going to split times with Godwin, basically in some alignments where Godwin and Brait are interchangeable depending on the play call or the formation as the third wide receiver. So, again, you want heavy consistency out of your number one pick at a fantasy draft. And, you know, while I can't, I'll try to do this, I would say be careful at just overvaluing wide receivers. Where, for example, if your fantasy first round, let's say you're picking 5, and David Johnson goes 1, and Le'Veon Bell goes 2, and Antonio Brown goes 3, and Odell Beckham goes 4. All right? Maybe it's someone who doesn't like the Cowboys. So you're sitting there at 5. And you're thinking, well, you know, in recent years, the book says get wide receivers early. We can get running backs later. All right. There is no discussion on what you do here. You would take Ezekiel Elliott before you would take Julio Jones. You would take Ezekiel Elliott before you take Mike Evans. I might argue against the Yahoo consensus rankings that just because I think Atlanta is going to have a rough year. A lot of things went right for them last year, and then in the Super Bowl, it all fell apart. It was like suddenly Alex Ovechkin was captain of the Atlanta Falcons up 28-3, and everything went the wrong way. I think Jay Ajayi is undervalued based on the consensus rankings at 13. To me, Jay Ajayi, when you bust off 3 200-yard games, and there's no reason to believe you are not that same player, if not better, going forward. And the Dolphins, as much as I actually don't like the Dolphins, their off-season moves, getting rid of Fat Albert, bringing in Julius Thomas, some smart draft picks as well. Adam Gase did a much better job last year than I thought he would do. They were without their number one quarterback in the playoff game against Pittsburgh. The Steelers are obviously every year one of those standard sort of playoff teams. They're going to win a game or two. The problem is, much like the era of Reggie Miller and Patrick Ewing and Stockton and Malone in the NBA, that they existed in the Michael Jordan era, the Steelers exist in the Patriots era. Yet, they've still won 2 Super Bowls in that era and lost the third one in a game that was there to be won, Super Bowl 45 against the Green Bay Packers. But as far as Julio Jones and Mike Evans, just you don't automatically have to take wide receiver in the first round. I understand if you do it, but you might get more consistency week to week from selecting a running back in the first round. I was very interested last year in the 14-team league I was invited to play in, where I did win that division and lost in the semifinals to the eventual champion. Running backs did go primarily first. Now, for you NASCAR fans, all 2 of you listening, I approach some fantasy drafts like Chad Knaus does when he is crew chief for Jimmy Johnson. When everybody zigs, you zag. What that means is when I looked up on the board and saw running back, running back, running back, running back, running back, I knew I had more value in the wide receivers. That was the league where I drafted Julio Jones and then eventually traded him for Le'Veon Bell. So you can follow that plan also. Rest of the consensus rankings below Mike Evans. I see Jordan Howard at 8, and I'm conflicted on my emotions as it relates to Jordan Howard, because in that same 14-team league last year, and when you were in a 14 or a 16-team league, there's not a lot on waivers when it comes to running backs. So if you have a number one or number two running back who goes down and you haven't already drafted for your bench, it's tough to find someone on waivers that you know is going to get volume. And I was fortunate that Howard was not only there, he wasn't really playing yet, but it was clear that the Bears' number one running back stunk and was soon to be benched. So it was more of a case of, well, this guy is next in line, and it looks like he's going to get a shot sooner than later. And he had some big games, and he helped me win some games. I would be very cautious about drafting Jordan Howard in the first round. We don't have enough to go on. I know he's been in the, you know, basically, he came on the scene last year, and so did Ezekiel Elliott, and so did Jay Ajayi. But you have a lot more to go on with the 200-yard games of Ajayi. and the consistent volume that we knew was there behind a strong run-blocking offensive line from 2 years ago with the results of DeMarco Murray, who is also extremely undervalued, it seems like, in ridiculously early fantasy football rankings for this coming year, on a team that could be good in Tennessee. I disagree with the Yahoo consensus rankings on Jordan Howard, having him above Shady McCoy, above Melvin Gordon, above Jay Ajayi, and on from there. Michael Thomas, wow, up to 15. And even the two guys that I really like, Brandon Funston and Brad Evans, have him at 9. The thinking here is, so basically what Brandon Funston and Brad Evans are saying is that Funston has him ahead of Evans. Evans has him ahead of Odell Beckham Jr. The thinking here is Michael Thomas in a Drew Brees offense is going to get his very often. Not to the point of Antonio Brown yet, because there was, I remember, a game early December last year as a Michael Thomas owner where I was sort of left wondering what happened. I think there was a little injury there as it related to Thomas. I think he sat out a game, maybe two. So that was the issue. But Thomas is a great red zone threat for Drew Brees. In the red zone, it's pretty obvious that if the Saints are going to throw the ball, Michael Thomas is going to get a look. And Drew Brees likes to throw him the football. So I just note that Michael Thomas is ranked in the consensus rankings in the top 15. Then comes DeMarco Murray, who I'd love to get DeMarco Murray in the second round of a season-long fantasy football draft. There's not a lot that says to me that the Titans are going to go away from how much they used Murray last year. Now let's explore how that happens. All right, one, Murray is a year older. Two, it's another year in the system for Derrick Henry to grow and earn reps, which he did near the end of the year, especially near the goal line. I don't think Tennessee is going to make Henry a goal line vulture, though. I don't think that's where this is going. And then there's the, well, Tennessee drafted three pass catchers in the first 2 days. Two new wide receivers, including the guy who immediately I thought was the rookie you place on your draft board the minute he was picked number 5, and that's Corey Davis from Western Michigan. They also drafted another wide receiver and another tight end to go with what they already have at that position simply of the age factor with their established tight end. So those are the scenarios, I guess, where you say, well, DeMarco Murray might not have the year he had last year. If he's sitting there in the second round, I'd be very tempted to take him. And it's interesting that just behind him in the Yahoo consensus rankings is Leonard Fournette. There is no question. First of all, one guy doesn't play in Jacksonville, and one guy does play in Jacksonville. And when all is said and done, it's kind of like I talk about here on the podcast with fantasy, where if you're building a fantasy roster season long or daily, there are certain teams you kind of want a piece of that team for that week. The Saints, the Packers, the Patriots, the Steelers. Those are the first four that fly off the page for me. There are also teams where if you have a choice, you don't want a player from Cleveland, Jacksonville, and there's probably one more, but those two stand out above. No, not Buffalo, simply because Buffalo has Shady McCoy, who was one of the more consistent and productive running backs last year in the NFL. So the fact that Leonard Fournette comes in ranked right behind DeMarco Murray to me seems very flawed. It also shows the overvaluation of rookies, and Fournette's offensive line is not the caliber of even an average NFL offensive line. And it's not like opposing defensive coordinators putting together the game plan are going to be like, well, you know, we'd rather stop Blake Bortles. No, Bortles hasn't earned that type of accountability. As a matter of fact, the Jacksonville Jaguars struggled to find a head coach who would take the job and keep Blake Bortles as the starting quarterback. It was kind of like John Fox dealing with Peyton Manning in Denver, and why ultimately John Fox left. Below Fournette, Bryant at 18 from Dallas, T.Y. Hilton at 19 from Indianapolis, Lamar Miller at 20 from Houston, high-volume running back, still on a Houston team that did draft a future quarterback but still has to answer that question with Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson going forward. Just what you've heard here, other than Fournette, a lot of these guys are in the same position. I mentioned the carryover and the consistency. So Fournette is the first rookie on the board, and I think that's wrong. I would much rather have Davis at a wide receiver position in Tennessee than Fournette on my roster as a rookie running back. But all we've had here is guys, other than rookies, right, that they're all from the same teams as the end of last year. You get down to 26, and the first new name in new place comes up at 26 in Alshon Jeffrey in Philadelphia. And funny, he's followed by Eddie Lacy, I know, a name that should be banned from all fantasy football podcasts until the end of time. But there's Eddie Lacy at 27, right behind Alshon Jeffrey, as the first two free agent names who switch teams on this consensus ranking of Yahoo Sports. I wouldn't touch either of them. Now, if you're going to say you have to take one or a loved one dies, I'd take Jeffrey. But Jeffrey is that inconsistency of Julio Jones or A.J. Green or like Mike Evans having a couple of games where it's like, what happened? Or the concern about more targets going to Deshaun Jackson and O.J. Howard. You kind of triple that concern with Alshon Jeffrey because he just doesn't play enough. He plays enough for you to justify him as a wide receiver, almost as a wide receiver four. But all it takes is one person in your league to overvalue him and grab him earlier than that. So, you know, most wide receiver fours are going to be drafted in what? The 6th, 7th, 8th, maybe 9th rounds of fantasy drafts. Probably more like 7th, 8th, and 9th or on beyond that. So someone in your league is going to take a chance on Alshon Jeffrey, and, you know, just let him do it. I know it's a deal that it makes Jeffrey play for his next contract immediately, and he is with a good, young, accurate starting quarterback in Carson Wentz. But Jeffrey was playing for a contract in Chicago last year, and granted, he didn't have a quarterback the caliber of Carson Wentz, but the Bears had a better running game than the Eagles had, and Jeffrey was still fantasy inconsistent and didn't play enough. So buyer beware on Alshon Jeffrey, and if you want to touch Eddie Lacy and think he'll have a rebirth in Seattle, you go right ahead. Ironically, Christian McCaffrey is ranked just behind him. Doing some homework on Carolina, A few things flew off the page. I'm forgetting the name of the other Carolina skill position offensive player they drafted out of Ohio State, who they drafted as a wide receiver. And then you see Christian McCaffrey, who I think Carolina and Christian McCaffrey will be very arrogant about him running between the tackles and him playing the role of a traditional running back, even if it isn't working. Now, this isn't to say they won't split out McCaffrey or they will get in an alignment where McCaffrey is next to Cam Newton. And then on Newton's cadence, McCaffrey will go in motion and become basically what Le'Veon Bell has become to Pittsburgh. They hope the production is the same. Also, the thing that flew off the page also, Cam Newton doesn't like throwing to running backs. So Cam's got to get around that. Because two of the guys that the Carolina Panthers drafted to help their offense are basically running backs who can catch the football. One is Christian McCaffrey, and then there's the other one they picked in either round two or round three. In the end, you might see the McCaffrey better as a pass catcher, and the guy they drafted a wide receiver who lined up more as a running back, I believe, at Ohio State, as a running back. This depends on their production. It depends on, can Cam Newton suddenly get in his head, I have running backs who can catch the ball, maybe I want to throw to them. Or is it the offensive coordinator of Carolina adjusting to his personnel and not saying, well, no, you're this or you're that. Funny that the first quarterback to come up on the Yahoo consensus rankings is Aaron Rodgers at 33 and Tom Brady at 34. And then Drew Brees comes in at 38 and then Andrew Luck at 40. And I hate to say it, but this is a year I'm not touching Andrew Luck. I know he's kind of come clean about shoulder problems and what have you. I want to be an Andrew Luck fan, both for reality football and fantasy football. But I'm now to that point where I need to see it to believe it. There's just been too much disappointment there, while T.Y. Hilton has certainly been productive with Andrew Luck throwing him the football. Check out the Yahoo consensus rankings on your own. I just thought those were some highlights that you would enjoy hearing some comments on. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Lansport Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Florida Golf Trail's Bloomingdale Golfers Club will be the home to the 10th event on the Todd Wright Tour. The public on sale for that event, which will be played the morning of Saturday, July 8th, will be coming very soon on joebucksfan.com/golf. In the meantime, get out and play any of the five public Florida Golf Trail properties, Landsbrook, Bloomingdale, Northdale, Bardmore, the Preserve at Terra, and if you would like to take a peek and play around at one of the two private courses, Bayou Club or River Hills Country Club, you can email me and I can put you in touch with the marketing manager so you can take a look at what private club life is like on the Florida Golf Trail. Again, my email is toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, and I'm waiting for someone to take me up on that private golf experience that I can set up through the marketing manager. All you have to do is ask. Florida Golf Trail and Lansbrook Golf Club. Lansbrook Golf Club is 727-784-7333. Again, I just played the course 1 week ago today in the city of Oldsmar. Charity tournament, and found the greens rolling very fast and a wonderful overall. Just at Lansbrook, if you can control your golf ball on approach shots, you do not want to be above the hole on about 6 to 8 of those multi-tiered, heavily sloped greens. My thanks to Lansbrook Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.